task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
So, you guys know what the elephant in the room is this week. You're thinking to yourself, oh, is it the $1.7 $6 billion Trump slush fund?
New fallout from President Trump's fund to compensate his political allies using taxpayer money. A new lawsuit seeks to stop it, and some congressional Republicans say they're looking for ways to put guardrails on this plan. The $1.8 billion fund was established as part of Trump's settlement with the IRS over the leaking of his tax returns. The so-called anti-weaponization fund is complicating Republican efforts to advance their $70 billion immigration enforcement bill. The fund would compensate people Trump feels were mistreated by the DOJ under the Biden administration, some of whom attacked police during the January 6th riots. Now two officers who helped protect the Capitol that day are suing to stop it.
We're not asking for to be compensated for this. We're asking for this to be stopped.
Just to be clear, people that hurt police get money all the time.
Attorney General Todd Blanche has not committed to banning funds from going to anyone who assaulted police. He said a commission will decide who receives those payouts.
No. Is it Trump's insanely new low poll numbers? He's going to crack the 30s because he's going to go into the 20s.
President Trump's approval rating has now dropped to the lowest level of his second term at 37%. And views of the economy have dropped to their lowest level in several years. Only 29% now say the economy is good.
It's not. The elephant in the room is the Democratic Party autopsy, which they desperately did not want to release. And the thing they did release is basically the Epstein files of the Democratic Party autopsy. It's edited. It's redacted. It has notes on every page. Like, we don't necessarily agree with the author's conclusions here. It tells you everything about the pathologies and the weaknesses and the sickness inside the Democratic Party consulting world that led us to 2024. I like to think of it kind of like a lighthouse in the night, okay? You're sailing along and you see some occasional flashes through the fog, and the lighthouse is kind of over there somewhere, but there's a lot of rocks between it and you. There are reefs. There's a lee shore, as they say. The little flickers of truth you see come out of it will not keep Democratic campaigns off of those rocks, off of those reefs, off of that lee shore. The elephant in the room is the Democratic autopsy, and the corpse is talking to us. So I really encourage you to read this thing. It is fascinating as an examination of their unwillingness to confront all the truth, but it's also fascinating to read it at the truths they left in there inadvertently or advertently, because it's important that you understand how their thought process led to this very conditional report. We're going to put a link here in the description. I want to get one thing out of the way first. They covered, finally, with some degree of honesty, the fact that they absolutely blew it on the Trump trans ads. You guys have heard me talk about this 100 times. You've seen me write about it 100 times. We knew right away what the purpose of the trans ads was. It was not because Trump hates LGBT people. He might. Who cares? The purpose was to talk to white, middle-class, economically frenzied voters. The purpose was to talk to men, both white, Hispanic, and African American, and push a cultural issue in their face that let them feel like there's an excuse for their failures in the world. We understood they didn't care. If it had been about any other freaking subject, pineapple on pizza, they didn't care. They found a cultural hot button that they knew the Democrats would fuck up. You know what? They did. Those Trump trans ads started running, and I told you at the time, there's a rule in Republican politics. Just win, baby. They don't spend money on anything that doesn't work. And they spent $330 million across the presidential, U.S. Senate races, and down ballot races, beating that trans ad into the heads of American men and rural Americans and suburban American women.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender. inmate in the prison system would have access.
It's hard to believe, but it's true. Even the liberal media was shocked Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners and illegal aliens.
Every transgender inmate would have access.
Kamala's for they, them. President Trump is for you.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
And the Democrats made a categorical error. This is a Cartesian problem, right? You're conflating object and subject. Democrats panicked when that ad hit because they couldn't make themselves do anything. The autopsy shows how they were like, beep, bloop, 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 bloop. The machine was on tilt. They couldn't fix the problem. Do you know why they couldn't fix the problem? They were afraid of offending a fraction of a sliver of a tiny minority of their base. They were afraid their coalition partners would be unhappy. They said there was no solution to this problem. There was no way to fix this problem. Well, guess what? You were fucking wrong. There was a way to fix the problem, and I'm going to play it for you right now. There was an ad to rebut the Trump trans ads. And this bullshit, throw up your hands and say, oh, kill me now. There's no solution. We can't, there's no way to solve this problem. There was always a way to solve the problem. Let me play the ad.
Have you seen this ad? Donald Trump is spending millions attacking Kamala Harris on a desperate lie. Taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners and illegal aliens is a Trump administration policy. He's attacking Kamala Harris for his own record, and he thinks you're too dumb to get it. He's gaslighting America because Trump is for he, him. Kamala is for us.
That ad took us between the time we started getting the SOSs from friends of the campaign, from folks that knew it, the damage it was doing. You know how long it took us to make that ad? 36 hours. I wrote the first draft in the Tampa International Airport. It's moving, going from somewhere to somewhere. And our production folks had it in hand within an hour. They started working on it. We revised it once just to make it flow a little better. But 36 hours from ad to completion. Now, $300 million that Trump had spent already at that point, we were not going to be able to spend that much money at the Lincoln Project. We just didn't have the money. We didn't have $300 million lying around. So we went out to Future Forward, which was the Democratic super PAC. We showed them the ad. Oh no, this would blow back. This would offend our own base. And you read this in the autopsy. They do not understand that the targets of Republican advertising are not the Democratic base. And sometimes when you have to respond to a message like we did there, we inverted that message. We flipped that narrative on its head. We showed it Trump is for he, him. We didn't try to argue out trans policy. We didn't try to make sure that nobody was offended. We tried to show in that ad that this is their bullshit, and we inverted the narrative on Trump. But they were so afraid. This blowback score on this ad might offend our own people. Who fucking cares? If your people are offended and you lose, you're losers. If your people are offended and you win, you're winners. Here's the thing that Democrats need to understand about their own coalition. Fuck you, shut up, get to work. Fuck you, shut up, get to work. None of this is simple for Democrats, but it's simple for Republicans. You know why? Because they're not worried about anything except victory. And so saying, oh, we're afraid that trans people will be offended by this ad. Well, guess what? You think trans people are better off now under Donald Trump and Russell Vaught and Pastor Paula and all these crazies? They could have had 5 minutes of discomfort. And now they have 4 years where they are literally targets of the state. This autopsy offends the shit out of me. Because the little slivers of truth that they find in it are already being walked all over by progressives, okay? By people who are like, well, don't tell us to do economic messaging. That's just, we need to talk about climate change and gun control and this and that. Guess what, folks? Those issues peaked in the 1990s and 2000s. They are no longer the things that are moving American voters. What's moving voters? Economics, 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 economics. Economics and also economics.
It wasn't this high before he became president, man. Gas was three something, barely $3. Now it's four. You know, it's, he don't need to be talking about borrowers, man. You need to be trying to fix the economy.
I think it's probably money that could be used elsewhere. You know what I'm saying? With the way the economy is and people are are starving, you know.
There's a lot of stuff going on around America that needs to change. And if we can't change it or try to help change it, what's the purpose?
They go through it. They talk about how Jackie Rosen in Nevada and how Ruben Gallego in Arizona. They talk about how Democrats have been succeeding on economic messaging. I'm already seeing people out there like, nope, 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 we're not going to talk about that. We want to go back to what we want to talk about. What you want to talk about is what's in this autopsy as losing your link to the American people. The American people and the Democrats acknowledging it in their own autopsy and not having the strength of character to really own it, to really get out there and say it. Identity politics and culture war issues are where the Democratic Party goes to die. You know, my friend Reed Gammon one time said, if you got three guys on a road crew working on a hot day somewhere, and there's a black guy and a white guy and a Hispanic guy, and the lady in the Land Rover rolls by them and turns her nose up, it doesn't matter what their race or heritage is. They're all going to hate her. And that's the message that a lot of Republicans and a lot of independents and a lot of rural voters and a lot of voters in the suburbs and a lot of voters right now who are begging the Democrats, just don't disqualify yourselves. Let us vote for you. Let us find a way to vote for you. Tell us about what you're going to do to help us economically. They don't care about the abstract, policy-driven, woo-woo shit that's in Washington and New York and coming out of the minds of very brilliant people who mean well, who want to solve climate or want to solve gun violence or want to solve any number of other issues. Those are luxuries to the guy who's on a farm in Iowa right now, wondering how he's going to afford diesel fuel and fertilizer. Those are luxury items. Those are not what people give a fuck about, Democrats. And this autopsy gets almost there. It gets so close to understanding it. But man, the reaction is blowing my mind of how many Democrats are like, well, you know, this autopsy's wrong. We should have been more of this. No. It knows enough to know that culture war and identity politics are what killed you in 24. And I want to preview something for you right now, folks. We've got the best economic environment for Democratic candidates in my lifetime. Donald Trump's numbers with independents are terrible. His numbers on the economy are terrible. And I don't mean just terrible. I mean cataclysmic, like meteor striking the dinosaurs level terrible.
But what about those who didn't cast a ballot at all in 2024? Those who didn't show up to vote? Well, they have become absolutely perturbed. I dare say they are pissed off at the president of the United States. Voters who didn't cast a ballot in 2024. Trump's net approval rating. Back in November of 2024, just after the election, look at his net approval rating. It was plus 4 points for his plans in office. But look at that. It is falling. Yeah. Whoo. There you go, Sarah Seidner. That's the only sound you can make. It has fallen through the floor. Look at this. Minus 50 points on Trump's net approval rating among voters who did not, in fact, cast a ballot in 2024. That is, you don't have to be a mathematical genius, an over 50-point move against the president of the United States among those who are kind of like, meh, you know, in terms of voting in 2024. But now they are pissed off.
But do not conflate that as America has turned far hard left. They have not. Donald Trump won over young Hispanic men and young African-American men and young white men in 2024. He used that culture war as a wedge, but he used economics as a promise. Just because they have now left Trump does not mean they left him because they're on your side of the culture war. Doesn't mean they left him because they're on your side of any number of LGBTQ, EIEIO, DEI issues, okay? That's not where they are. They left Trump because he screwed them economically. They left Trump because he has absolutely fucked their future.
If you could pick one word to describe the state of the economy right now, what would that one word be?
All fucked up. All fucked up.
That was a diehard Trump supporter here in Florida at this gas station after he filled up his tank at the price of $4.29 per gallon. Gas, just one of the expenses that's skyrocketing as the war in Iran continues with no end in sight.
It's crazy, bro. Right now I'm paying $2,600 a month for my rent. You know what I mean? And that ain't no bills included. You know what I mean? Like, this is really, 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 really hard. My wife's about to be pregnant. She's due in about next week. And it is extremely difficult.
They're leaving Trump because they can't put gas in their cars to go to their shitty $7 an hour jobs. And because Trump gave Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk and Larry Ellison a massive tax cut. And the tax cut that they got for a couple $100 went in their gas tank. Even this autopsy, which is superficial, redacted, and I think largely going to be viewed counterproductively by the Democratic consultocracy, there is an economic roadmap out of it, even in this document, where you can see the lighthouse a little more clearly, where you can see the light a little more as a beam, not just as a flash. That economic stuff is going to be ignored. And if it is, we will lose. We may win this fall, but we'll lose in 28. We will get close, but not win. If we fall into the traps that they're about to set on culture, and this year's traps are going to be, once again, trans, crime, and the illusion of violent immigrants. None of those things are real problems. Okay, they're not real problems. There is no real trans crisis in this country that they're threatening our kids or something. That's bullshit.
With their policy of open borders, transgender for everyone, I call it transgender mutilization of your children for everybody, men playing in women's sports, all of the stuff that they do, high taxes.
There is no real crisis in crime. Crime has been going down under Biden. It was going down under Obama. It was going down under Trump the first time. Crime has been a long downslope in America. But they're going to pretend that if you don't vote for the Republican, your dog is going to get raped and your wife's going to get eaten by cannibals or whatever fantasy bullshit they're going to throw up there.
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
They're going to try to draw you on to that culture war killing ground. They're going to try to draw you into that shit. This is where you even can point to your own autopsy and say, hey, identity politics, shit, culture war, shit, ain't working for us, chief. And I want to say something because I know a lot of my Democratic friends are going, how dare you? Guys, luxury issues. That doesn't mean they're without merit. It doesn't mean that there's not an argument to be made on those issues. We can agree or disagree on them. I don't care. What I do care about is that you don't pick issues to run on that are stupid, that you don't pick issues to run on that the Republicans are waiting for you to come up and fight them on, where they will beat you. All of us have to resist the temptation to say that the issue that we love the most is exactly what middle-class voters in the country want to hear about, or independent voters want to hear about, or Republican-based voters want to hear about, or Democratic-based voters want to hear about. If you think to yourself, my issue is X, and I love X as my issue, you are thinking tactically, not strategically. Look, I spoke with someone yesterday, absolutely great person. Why aren't we talking about climate change again? Why aren't we getting young voters turned on about climate change again? I'm like, I got to be honest with you, my friend. They don't give a shit about climate change if they can't pay rent.
What would you say your number one issue is right now?
Affordability. Economy.
Affordability.
Protecting democracy.
Affordability.
Livability.
Having a future.
One word to describe the economy.
Stagnating.
Fair.
Failing.
Unacceptable.
Unlivable.
Atrocious.
Miserable.
The job market.
Fake.
Competitive.
Scary.
Atrocious.
Non-existent.
No.
If you gave every young voter in this country a choice, like, do we do a big climate change bill or do we do something that's going to make sure that you can get a job and buy a house? They will pick the job and the house 100% of the time. It's not that there's not a merit to discussing climate change or any of these other issues, but there is a political detriment to doing them when all voters want to hear you do is talk about how you're going to fix the financial crisis they're in right now. Guys, groceries are up 10% a month right now. Gas is still going up. And as of right now, all the models are telling us we're not getting out of this $5, $6 gas range till 2029 at this point. There is a crisis in this country. This autopsy gets to some of it. It understands some of it. It understands the perils of culture war and identity politics and the primacy of economic argument. But the Democratic Party has a consulting infrastructure around it that is broken, that is conflicted. Future Forward raised $1 billion for Kamala Harris. They spent money on broadcast television ads. Are you fucking kidding me? In the year of our Lord, 2024, you spent money on broadcast television ads? You might as well just hire crack dealers to go around the city and throw leaflets out of cars. Madness. They live in this culture where everything has to be focus grouped and everything has to be tested. And if anybody's offended, if any possible person could possibly ever take offense to anything in the ad, it has to be killed. Ads are about emotion. They are about the gut. They are about the heart. They are not about the head. And they want to test these things until they don't mean anything to anybody. They want to wear off all the edges. They want to sand down all the edges. They want to pretend that they can come up with something that's so anodyne, so pablum, that no one could possibly critique it. That way lies madness. Trump never ran a positive ad in 2024. Not once. They didn't run a single positive ad in 24 because they understood the emotions of fear and anger were more powerful than the emotions of reason and compassion. It would be a nicer society and a better country if those things governed our politics. They do not. I want to say this very clearly, because this autopsy, I want you to read it. It's been so edited and chopped up and so full of caveats and exemptions and codicils and walkbacks and everything else. It must have been a torture internally for them to decide to release even this watered down version. I'll tell you why it came out now. Three reasons. One, it was probably going to leak anyway. Two, there are a lot of major donors out there who are really pissed off and they're holding their money. They have enough of the Democratic Party in DC that is essentially unaccountable to them. So I think Martin was under a lot of pressure from donors to go out there and actually show what they learned and to see if they're going to do something different. And look, the reasons Harris lost, they're not just the trans ad. There were a lot of things about Biden, a lot of things about the economy that were burdens on her. And I will tell you, they ran the best 109-day campaign in the history of 109-day campaigns. They did not have the time to scale. They did not have the ability to get themselves branded away from Biden. A lot of things in here that are legitimate observational awareness of the situation. Read the report, and then I want you to very carefully watch the next few days about how Democrats are responding to the autopsy. They're trying to be like, well, it may or may not be accurate. There may be something. No, guys, the autopsy is your friend if you let it be. It is a path to wisdom if you allow it to become one. If you don't, the Republicans, and again, the economic situation is so bad this year, it would be hard for us to lose. But if we smartly stay on the economy and on how the corruption ties into the economy and smartly center this thing on the damage that Trump and his party are doing to the economic lives and futures of Americans across the political and economic spectrum, we can have a much bigger November. And we can hold the House and Senate in 2028. Maybe we can take back the presidency too. Wouldn't that be nice? The elephant in the room is that the corpse that's examined by this autopsy is exquisite. You should learn the lessons from it. We are rarely going to see this again. The consultocracy in the Democratic Party, their immune system response to this autopsy is a thing to see. It should tell you they're not your friends. They're in a business in Washington that is very well paid, and they get paid $40,000 a month to lose. That ain't how this should work, okay? Anyway, folks, that's the elephant in the room for this week. I appreciate you all taking the time to watch. Do me a big favor, like and subscribe on all the platforms. Whether you're looking to this as a podcast or watching this on YouTube, we would really appreciate it. That helps grow the channel. It helps get us out in front of more people, and it helps more people reach the message of how we're going to fight to defeat autocracy and how we're going to keep these people held to account. Thanks again so much, folks. You can catch me on the Lincoln Project podcast every week. You can also catch me on the Elephant in the Room, this podcast, every Friday. Catch me on The Breakdown on Thursdays. Catch me on Strategy Session on Tuesdays. And Behind the Numbers on Friday mornings with Andrew Wilson, America's only father and son polling show. And we like it that way. All right, folks. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.